You're a wizard, Abby!
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for The Order of the Phoenix with
Sarah Tompkins,
Michael DeMauro,
and I'm Vijaya Shrestha. This week, we talk about Chapter 23, Christmas on the Closed Ward. We discuss what happened to the Longbottoms, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues.
Go now.
Hey. Oh, wow. I don't know how to do this. At least Sarah doing
it. Let's go.
So much shade.
Just choose a random one because they're all going to be terrible.
Animals for 700.
What are you doing? You are a crazy person.
This is not how they do it on Jeopardy, Michael.
Okay. What creatures does Luna say make up Cornelius Fudge's army?
Beep.
The
Inferi.
Got it. It's a good one.
I don't.
You don't know?
No.
Heliopaths.
That's why it's a 700.
Jeez.
Sun creatures?
No, it's made up because it's
Luna. Well, I mean, not really.
Well, you don't know. Luna can sometimes be right. Way to feed into
I
the
guess news.
I go again.
I just fake news to you with that.
Okay. I'm ready. Okay.
Let's do miscellaneous for 400. It's really fucking things up here.
Just do it. Chaos. Anarchy.
What is the name of the fake competition Tonks used to lure the Dursleys out of the house?
Ding, ding, ding.
Michael.
The Great British Lawn Competition.
It's pretty close. Yeah I'll give
Britain's
it to you.
Most
That's
beautiful
good.
Lawn
yeah.
or something?
Yeah. It is officially All England Best Kept Suburban Lawn Competition.
Wow.
Why nice job.
He only has half a point.
That was a long one.
Mary Berry judges it.
Yes.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Wears awesome jackets the whole time.
Always awesome jackets.
Hollywood just goes like this.
And bitch.
Which is very good audio. Okay.
good content.
Thanks, guys.
Christmas on the Closed Ward.
So Harry's having like all these thoughts racing through his mind. Like, did Dumbledore not want to meet his eyes when they were talking because he was afraid he would see Voldemort through them? He remembers Voldemort possessing Quirrell, so he like touches the back of his head to make sure like his face wasn't poking out of it. Because, you know, everything happens exactly like it happened last time.
You know, sometimes you're in the middle of class and all of a sudden you just have an evil person's face poking out the back of your head and it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So he feels contaminated. He doesn't feel worthy of his friend's company. He didn't see the snake. He had been the snake. So he feels real bad about that. So he remembers the talk about the weapon that Voldemort wanted. Remember in the beginning of the book?
Mm-hmm.
That from the Department of Mysteries. And now he's like, what if I'm the fucking weapon that Voldemort wants?
Damn.
He kind of does a Sarah losing her job and becoming homeless spiral.
It happens to the best of us.
He's the one Voldemort wants, and that's why he has been guarded and all this stuff. So he just kind of spiraled out of control. On the ride back from the hospital where they were all at, I guess he looks sick from all these thoughts, because as soon as they get home, Molly sends him straight to bed to get some rest, but he just goes upstairs and paces, going over all the shit that he's thinking. Is Voldemort an animagus? But that doesn't explain how Harry got to London and back so fast. He's like, well, Voldemort is a powerful wizard. And then he's like, well, and if he's possessed, and then Harry will show him all the order, everyone that is in the order, because then Voldemort can see through his eyes into Grimmauld Place, which isn't great. So obviously he has to leave. Duh. He can't go back to Hogwarts because there are people there that he doesn't want Voldemort to hurt. So he's like, all right, I guess I'll go to Privet Drive because he doesn't give a shit about the Dursleys. So he's packing up. He realizes Hedwig is still at Hogwarts, but he's probably like, I guess that's for the best. And then Phineas Nigellus pops up into his portrait and kind of goads Harry for running away. He's like, oh, yeah, I mean, you're obviously running away. And he's like, I thought Gryffindors were supposed to be brave. But he's like, well, maybe you would have done better in Slytherin because you are running away to save your own skin. And that's brave. And Slytherins are brave, but they're not stupid. And right now you're not being stupid by running away to save yourself. So you should have been in Slytherin. And Harry's like, I'm not running away, whatever. And I'm definitely not trying to it's not Harry's skin that he's trying to save. That's what Harry says.
It would be ironic, though, because technically Slytherins would shed their skin and leave it behind and not save it.
Good point.
Ooh.
But that's just, you know.
So they wouldn't try to
save. Right.
Anyway. So Phineas Nigellus actually has a message from Dumbledore to Harry. And the message is, stay where you are.
Stand in the place where you are.
And obviously Dumbledore knows that Harry is trying to leave. Would try to leave. Harry gets mad. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? If all this shit that's happened, stay where you are is all that he has to say to me? And Phineas Nigellus is like, you know, this is exactly why I hated being a teacher. Kids are always convinced that they have the right to know everything. He's like, have you ever considered that Dumbledore knows all these things? And have you ever considered there's a reason why he's not telling you every tiny detail? Have you ever considered that following Dumbledore's orders has always been the right thing to do? But no, Harry knows what's right. Harry knows what's dangerous. You kids are all fucking stupid.
It's true.
I just love that he's like, this is why I hated being a teacher.
I know. I get those feelings sometimes. I get it.
But he also kind of lets slip that Voldemort is planning something. And he's like, oh, did I do that? And then leaves.
It's a surprise party. Hooray.
Yeah. Wasn't supposed to tell
everybody him. Always ruins surprise parties.
So Harry's mad. And he like throws himself face down into the bed like a huge drama queen or king, whatever. Drama nerd. So he's like, so much has happened since he kissed Cho under that fucking mistletoe. Mistletoe. I can't talk. Mistletoe is how you grow missiles to shoot at other countries. Mistletoe. So he's so tired that he falls asleep, even though he's kind of scared to do that because he's afraid that Voldemort's going to come possess him. So he dreams about the corridor again and the black door, but he can't open it. He's just like, he just stood there looking at the door and he's like, there's something in here that I want with all my heart, a surprise beyond his dreams. But before he could, like, do anything further, he's woken up by Ron for dinner. But by the time he kind of, like, gets up and, like, looks around, Ron's already gone. And his immediate thoughts are, he doesn't want to be alone with me.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, because you're a super jerk.
It's because you're being a meanie.
So he just goes back to sleep, which... I would be hungry, but that's just me. He just goes back to sleep. I wrote because he's a baby. He wakes up the early next morning and sees that Phineas back. Phineas is back, and he immediately is like, "Dumbledore probably sent him here to watch me because in case I attack anyone else. Everyone is unfair to me." So everyone spent the next day putting Christmas decorations up, and Sirius is like so happy everyone's there. He's singing Christmas carols, and Harry's like, "I don't want to do that because I'm sulking. Do it."
Someone's being a Grinch.
He actually like goes upstairs and hangs out with Buckbeak instead of like being downstairs with everyone. He like further separates himself from everyone else. So Hermione has come back early from vacation. She's like, I told my parents that everyone's gonna be studying extra hard for the owls, and they understand. But Harry, like, way to go. You ruined her vacation. She's gonna be spending Christmas with them. Crassmas.
She's gonna be spending Crassmas under the mistletoe.
The allergies have addled my brains. So she has come to coax him out of hiding and sulking. So after they left to rescue or to see Arthur in the hospital after all that happened, Dumbledore filled her in like the next day about what happened, and Umbridge is super mad that they left under her nose. Harry's just being a prat again, and Ginny's like, Look and listen. You stop doing what you're doing. You're just being awful. And Hermione tells him to stop feeling misunderstood.
I want to tell that to so many people.
So Harry tries to go off on them about talking about him and stuff. And Ginny's like, yeah, dude, we wanted to talk to you, but you've been hiding. You can't talk to someone about them or about what happened if they're not willing to talk to them or talk to you. And calls him dumb for not wanting to talk to the only person he knows who has actually been possessed by Voldemort.
This is why Book Ginny is the best.
Yes.
Very good point.
And he's like, oh, I forgot.
Nice.
So she's like, have you had any blank periods in memory? Like when she was possessed, she would just like lose hours of like memory. Like she didn't know where she was. She didn't know what she was doing. And he's like, no, I don't have blank periods. And she's like, yeah, then you weren't possessed, you dumb idiot. There, I solved it. Case closed. Ginny Weasley, private detective.
P.I.
So he feels better, but then he talks about the snake, and Hermione's like, you've had these dreams before where he's kind of been the snake. I think in Goblet of Fire, where Frank Bryce dies.
Yeah, attacks Bryce as a snake. Yeah.
So then he says, what if Voldemort transported him to London and back? And Hermione plays the Hogwarts of History card again. He's like, you really have to read that book because there's no way he could do that. And then Ron also points out that Harry never left his bed because he was just thrashing around in his bed until he woke up that night. So Harry's like, he feels better, and he joins in the Christmas merriment, finally.
That's all he had to do was talk to his friends.
Yeah. Exactly. Instead of being misunderstood. And he can't believe that he thought about going to the Dursleys. What a dumb idiot. So Christmas morning, stacks of presents as always. Ron got a broomstick compass from Harry, a homework planner from Hermione. She also gets that for Harry, like, says stupid quips like, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today, or whatever. Live life, love, dance like no one's watching. Harry got one too, yeah. So, Sirius and Lupin gave Harry a set of books titled Practical Defensive Magic and Its Use Against the Dark Arts. So obviously for the Dumbledore's army, Hagrid sent a furry brown wallet with fangs, which I guess would be good security, but it also tries to like bite him anytime he tries to open it. So it doesn't really work. Tonks gave him
Sarah Tompkins.
Tompkins. she gave him a model firebolt. Ron gave him an enormous box of every flavored beans, and the Weasleys give him another Henna jumper and mince pies. And Dobby gave him a terrible painting, which he probably painted himself.
Aww,
I think that's really cute.
That's
so
sweet.
That's very cute.
It's like when you make terrible paintings as a child and your parents are like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. It's better than the Mona Lisa. So Fred and George appear in the room and tell them not to go downstairs for a bit because Molly's crying, because Percy sent his jumper back without a fucking note. Didn't even ask about Arthur.
Percy's going through some stuff. He needs to stop being misunderstood.
Yeah, he's going through a professional puberty stage. Harry got Hermione a book on numerology, and Ron got her an unusual perfume. I really want to know what that smells like. So Hermione has a gift for Creature. Apparently he has a bedroom. It's like just a nest of jumbled rags and old blankets piled on the floor by the boiler. Creature has also been trying...
Not by a hearth, by a boiler. It's fine.
What?
Creatures where Creature lives. It's a pile of rags near a boiler, not a hearth, apparently. It should be near a hearth.
No, not a hearth.
Should be near a hearth. Anyway.
Maybe it's by a hearth. And a boiler.
It's not, because it's just, otherwise I would have gotten a point.
Are you saying hearth?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You said a hearth. Got it. I did not understand. Look. Anyway.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I thought you were like, you're wrong. You read the book wrong.
Nope. Maybe you did read it wrong.
Everyone read it wrong.
I didn't make those questions. Creature has been trying to save some shit that Sirius has been trying to throw out, including pictures of the family, one of which included Bellatrix, who Creature seemed to like more than the rest because everybody's like pictures were laid out, but hers was like in the forefront. So Sirius comes to realize that no one has seen Creature lately, and Harry suggests that when Sirius said get out of the kitchen, he could have just left. And Sirius is like, nah, house elves can't leave unless given clothes. And he's like, well, I mean, Dobby did leave the Malfoy Manor to come like warn me. He had to punish himself later, but he did do that. And Sirius kind of looks concerned, but he's like, I'll search for him later. And he also says maybe he went upstairs in one of the rooms and died or something. He kind of like seems, he's like, yeah, maybe he died. What a terrible person. So they're planning on visiting Arthur after Christmas lunch. Manungus has managed to borrow a car to take them since the underground doesn't work on Christmas holidays. The hospital is decorated for the occasion. There are people being admitted for family arguments, which is apparently like any holiday. They have that happen. Apparently Arthur and one of the healers have been experimenting with muggle remedies for his injuries. It's stitches. He's gotten stitches.
Oh, God.
But Molly is furious. She's like, it sounds like Arthur, or the healer, is trying to stitch his skin together. And they're like, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but whatever, like the snake venom is dissolving the stitches, so it's not really working. Because Hermione's like, because Ron and Ginny try to like make fun of the remedy. And Hermione's like, well, you know, in the muggle world, it usually works. So the kids leave this awkward situation because Molly's like yelling and stuff, and they head to get tea. On the way, Ron gets told that he's suffering from a bad case of spattergory. It's just his freckles.
Oh,
damn.
I know. So they get to the fourth floor, they headed to the fifth, and then they encounter a familiar person. It's Professor Lockhart, you guys.
What? Eek.
I know.
What's he doing?
He's in a corridor called Spell Damage. Mm. He still wants to hand out autographs, but he doesn't remember much else. His nurse mistakes them to be his visitors and invites them into the ward, which is called the Janus Thicky Ward, which is a long-term residence ward for permanent spell damage.
Mm.
I know. The ward definitely has a more permanent look than, like, where Arthur were. There are more personal effects, pictures, and stuff. And Bode, if you remember, is there too. He seems to be making improvements, though not really speaking any language they recognize. And someone has sent him a plant for Christmas. I'm sure, you know, that's sweet. Nothing's gonna happen there. They then hear the name Longbottom, because they're like huddled around Lockhart, and they hear like one of the hospital attendants go, oh, are you leaving already, Mrs. Lockhart? Mrs. Longbottom. And Harry looks around to see if he can distract the rest while Neville leaves. But Ron is like, Longbottom or Neville, have you seen who's here? Like trying to tell him that Lockhart's there. So obviously Harry knows about Neville's parents, but no one else does. And they meet his grandma, and Neville just looks like totally defeated and thoroughly embarrassed. And it's clear that, you know, Neville talks about his friends all the time to his grandma, because his grandma's like, oh, you're the Weasleys, obviously, because you have red hair, you're Harry Potter, and you must be Hermione. And grandma also finds out that Neville has never told any of his friends about his parents. And Neville's like, I'm not ashamed of them. But then he doesn't really say, like, why he hasn't talked about them. And his grandma tells them that her son and daughter-in-law were tortured into insanity by Voldemort's followers.
Yikes.
And at that moment, Ron is, like, still trying to, like, crane his neck and look at Alice and Frank, which are their, Neville's parents' names. And then he's like, ooh, I need to stop doing that. They were very highly gifted Aurors. And then Alice, this scene, like, makes me want to cry every time I read it.
So sad.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Alice comes up to Neville to give him something and hands him an empty gum wrapper. And his grandma's like, again, Alice, dear? Okay, give it to him. And Neville just goes, thanks, Mom. And his grandma tells him to just chuck it when they leave, but Neville keeps it. He puts it in his pocket. Mm-hmm. And I just imagine him having like a collection of gum wrappers that his mom has given him over the years. I cried. And then after they leave, Harry tells him that he knew about them, about Alice and Frank, but Dumbledore told him not to tell. And that's why Bellatrix got sent to Azkaban for what she did to the Longbottoms. And that's the end of the chapter. Whew, that took an emotional toll on me.
It's a lot.
Man.
Yeah, the new things are spattergoid, which is a fungal infection. Only cure is to take the liver of a toad, bind it tight about your throat, stand naked by the full moon in a barrel of eel's eyes.
What?
You never know. You never know until you try.
And obviously, I don't think we'd ever met Neville's grandma before. And obviously, we had never met Frank and Alice Longbottom. Two questions. Do Hermione's parents really not care? I understand wanting to study, but she's like gone all year. She's usually hanging out with them half of the summer, and then she also dips out before Christmas is over. Like, I would just be like, honey, I know studying is important, but spending time with your family is also equally important. It's almost like she's already trying to distance herself from her muggle family.
No, I mean that maybe like, well, maybe her parents, maybe they're very nice people, but they're not intensely like close and family. And maybe their stress on her getting good grades is like so, and they probably are like, you know, if they have their own practice or something, maybe they're dentisting all the time.
Dentisting. Dentist.
But maybe, you know, maybe her studying, the summer I could see them being like, well, you don't really need to study right now. But like during the winter, I could imagine that they would just be like, well, if you really think it's for the best, they'd let her do it. But I don't know. My mom would give me a mega guilt trip.
I think they just don't love her.
That's what it is. You're right.
That's probably it.
I mean, they're probably huge nerds and they're like, yeah, studying is real important.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I mean, I don't know. I guess when I was growing up, my mom would buy, we had like winter break instead of summer break. And like a month into it, she would buy all of our school books and be like, start reading. She'd kind of start reading to get ahead in class.
Thanks, so, mom.
I don't know, man. Maybe she's like that.
Possible. And Who knows? She did technically go and spend some time with her parents. So like, for instance, for the past 3 years, and we'll probably be four through this year, my brother goes with his girlfriend and her mom and brother to Mexico on Christmas Day. My mom guilts him about it every time, but he's like, I spent the couple days before Christmas with you. It's totally fine. And that's what he does.
And also, he's going to Mexico.
I know. That's a little bit different, yeah. But
it's warm.
But there's magic at Hogwarts, so that's pretty cool.
There's magic. My second question is, what do y'all think the weapon is, y'all?
Probably like a big gun.
Like a really big one. Like a ray gun.
Yeah, like a really big gun.
Or like a big elephant with like some sort of mount on its tusks. So, but it'd probably be like magical, like a mammoth. Like it's a woolly mammoth with two guns.
Okay. Like the tusks themselves shoot bullets?
What, do elves shoot bullets?
No, the tusks. The elephant's tusks themselves shoot
yes,
bullets.
Yes, because they're magic.
Nice.
I want them to be. I want them to be Oliphants, like from Lord of the Rings.
See, there you go. They're established fantasy giants, pachyderms.
Are they pachyderms?
Aren't elephants pachyderms?
I don't know.
I thought they were. Well, we'll look into that.
I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna go and say yes on the pachyderms.
Do you have any other questions, Bajaya?
No, that's it.
That's it. Well, thanks for reading us the chapter.
They are pachyderms.
Yes!
Yeah.
I'm vindicated.
It's any various of non-ruminant mammal.
Pachyderms packing some serious ammo. Yeah, you're welcome.
I think it's just a nuclear launch code.
That's probably right.
So yeah, we'll see you in the segment, you guys.
Bye. All right. Bye. Meow. Ooh.
We just met Alice and Frank Longbottom and Augusta Longbottom, which is the grandma's name.
Augusta.
Do you want to talk about them some more?
I would love to.
I kind of would break my heart a little bit, but we should do it.
So the Longbottoms they're a pure blood wizarding family, and they're one of the secret agents. What is wrong
secret
with me?
Secret agents.
One of the sacred 28, which is the 28 original, well, or 28 pureblood families. They're related to the Black family and the Abbott family, and distantly to the Weasleys, the Crouches, and the Potter family.
Wow.
Yeah, and they don't seem to hold prejudice based on blood purity, but they are, like, higher ranked than the Weasleys, who are considered blood traitors. Like, the example is that because Calidora Black married Harfang Longbottom, but she was not disowned by the Black family.
That's nice.
Yeah, so let's talk about what happened to Frank and Alice and how that probably affected, like, how.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Like, if there's only 28 families, like, that seems like a lot of, like, royal sort of blue blood weird cousin marriage stuff is going to happen there by accident.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or like in Iceland or whatever with the app, you know?
You remember when we went through the black family tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, in marrying, and because they're already married into, I think, the Weasley family and obviously the Longbottom family, and they're married into a bunch of other families. And then, I mean, there's only 28, so obviously you're gonna have to keep marrying to each other if you want to do the pure blood shit.
Pure blood thing. Delicious. Okay, sorry,
delicious.
Continue.
Chef's kiss. So, yeah, Frank and Alice were tortured into insanity, and I can't even imagine, like, they're so brave. Fighting in the first Wizarding War. And Neville would have been real young. And so, like, all his life, he's grown up knowing this version of his parents. Right?
Right. Because if you think about it, Harry was a baby and didn't know his parents either. So that's a really stark contrast. Like, you have one person who has lost their parents and has all these, like, happy memories. Well, not happy, but sees grew up the Dursleys, but people giving him all these great memories of what his parents were like and things like that. And then you have one whose parents are still alive, but they're not really his parents anymore. They're not really there. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be like, oof, which one's harder, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Which one do you think is harder?
Yeesh.
Pick one.
Well, it's kind of not that it's the same, because it's not. And I don't know, because part of me, like, would just rather have my parents here no matter what. But I think about, like, seeing my grandfather go through Alzheimer's and, like, being unable to be himself. But I knew him before then. So, I don't know. Like, Neville would have never known anything. But it still is so sad. Like, his mom's, you know, giving him the gum wrapper and stuff like that. I don't know. It's really hard to see people you love when you know that they are or were, like, really brilliant people not be able to do the things that they used to be able to do. And not in just a way, like, they're getting older per se, but, like, really their mental facilities are gone, you know?
And on one hand, like, Harry has that, I guess, the perfect image of his parents that, I guess, kind of gets eroded by stories he learns from Snape. But at the other hand, like, at least Neville actually gets to interact, however limited that is, with his parents. I just can't imagine, like, because he obviously, Neville knows how brilliant and brave and everything his parents were, but he also kind of just knows his parents from the stories he's heard, like the same as Harry.
I imagine it would be really hard for him to move on, right? Like, with his parents there, whereas Harry can just kind of be like, this is done, it's over.
No,
time to.
You know, this is a very depressing
segment. Anyway, either way, it's a fucking bummer, everybody.
It is depressing. Well, and also, like, Neville did have his grandma. I know Harry had his aunt and uncle, technically, but his grandma was kind of harsh to him. I don't think she was Dursley level harsh because he didn't live under the stairs. But he also didn't really have an easy childhood, you know? And going to school, he definitely didn't have it easy. I know Harry has different challenges, but poor Neville's always picked on and struggles with school, and not because he's not, you know, committing himself to it, but
I was like, Neville has that whole extended family, but they're also doing things like hanging him out of windows to try to see if he's magic or not.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a mixed blessing there.
I was going to say, why do you, I mean, I'm surprised that I guess so many people were lost and, like, killed and everything during the first Wizarding War. But knowing, just like, I guess I would equate it to World War II, whatever, but knowing how small the wizarding community is and seeing how Frank and Alice were such, like, hugely regarded orrs, I'm surprised that no other person at Hogwarts, like, remembered that he was their kid. Like, I know that the professors did, but I meant, like, students.
I don't find it that shocking. Like, first of all, they haven't been to school yet, so they don't know any history. But I feel like a lot of the Great Wizarding War has been swept under sort of the rug. If you think about, like, they call Voldemort, you know who. Yeah. They still to this day can't call him Voldemort. I doubt that they're, you know, telling
tales other than, like, because Harry Potter is a good symbol of, like, he was the boy who lived, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like you hear or always hear one story of one great battle or one great thing, but unless you really are into that piece of history, you're not going to necessarily know heroes. And as a kid, you're definitely not going to care. You know what I mean? Like, even if you regard the Longbottoms well, like, he's still a really dopey kid, and kids are going to be kids, and kids are rotten.
Yeah. I was just thinking about more, like, the Weasleys or, like, the ones that were, like, better friends with the Longbottoms that maybe they would grow up hearing about the Longbottoms. But I guess you don't want to really talk about the people that have been lost in a terrible way.
Yeah. Right, and I don't think you're going to tell your kids, like, oh, yeah, Neville, his parents were tortured. Like, there's so much stuff I learned, like, as an adult about, like, friends of our family or people, you know what I mean? Like, that I didn't know as a kid, but my parents knew, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't going to tell me stuff like that.
Yeah. Why do you think Neville has never told his friends?
Well, he probably has a hard enough time as it is in school, and he doesn't seem to have a lot of close friends anyway. Like, what is it going to do to be like, hey, yeah, no, my parents are crazy. Or, no, my parents, not if you didn't say crazy, like, yeah, no, my parents were tortured to the point of being out of their minds. And, like, is that... What is he hoping to get sympathy? Yeah. Like, then that's using your parents for sympathy, or like it just doesn't seem like there's an opportunity ever for Neville to say anything to anyone.
I was gonna say, how do you even broach that subject? Be like, yeah, let's make some potion. Oh, by the way, and my parents are tortured, Bellatrix, and
right, especially since he's so painfully shy.
Yeah. Well, and even if you do, like, it's not that you're ashamed of it, but how can you expect other people to understand, like, who your parents were if they haven't been growing up with stories of them? Or, yeah, I mean, like, how do you expect them to maintain judgment against them when, like, your mom is handing you gum wrappers even though you love her and you know you're not ashamed of her? Like, how do you expect other people to see her? And I don't know. Like, I would be protective of my own parents. Like, it would make me sad. It would make me so sad if people ridiculed my parents in any way.
I think the best opening for him to share that with anyone would have been when Bellatrix and her husband and whoever else broke out of Azkaban in the third book? No. When did they break out? Or had they not broken out yet?
Two chapters from now.
Spoilers.
You just ruined my chapter.
Jesus.
The only person who's ever broken out of Azkaban is Sirius Black, yeah. Okay?
Well, anyway. I think that's the only opening he would have to, like, say anything about on that top, I like, about his parents. But yeah, I agree with you. Like,
but that was after they found out anyway.
Yeah. I meant, like, for the rest of the school.
Yeah.
Neville.
Oh, so sad.
I want you to hug him. And everyone's so mean to him.
I always wanted, like, secretly, and I understand why she didn't, but I always wanted the gum wrappers to mean something, like, in the very last book. Like, I wanted them to come back in some way and tie into the story so that, like, his mom was still trying to, like, send him a message or something.
The secret is gum wrappers.
Didn't happen.
Magical gum wrappers.
Spoilers.
Man, well, I need to.
That's depressing.
All right then.
Huh?
I was just saying all right then pretty loud.
Yeah. Need to go, like, cry in the shower or something now.
Yeah. If you want to cry in the shower, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah. But maybe not while you're in the shower, because that'll ruin your phone.
Unless you got one of those waterproof ones.
I did, like, every time I read the segment, the little scene with Alice giving Neville the gum wrapper and he keeps it, I cry a little bit. I cried doing this chapter because it's so sweet and so sad. Neville.
Don't cry, Vijaya.
He's such a good boy. He's gone through so much in such a young age.
Don't worry, he grows up to be really hot.
he long bottoms pretty hard.
He long bottoms real hard.
All right. Well, yeah. So let us know your thoughts about poor Neville.
Or send me pictures of older long bottom now.
Yeah, in his underwear.
All right. See you next
week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Who's ready for our penultimate set of thank yous?
I'm not ready.
I'm ready.
My heart's not ready.
Do you want to take a few minutes? You need to warm up?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. I get to go this time, so I'm very excited. And look at this batch of beautiful people.
Oh, so beautiful.
They're so good. We've got Lonnie Duane, or maybe Leonie Duane, or I...
Leonie, you're not strong.
Starting off strong.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Lonnie / Leonie.
Sarah's off the podcast now. I'm the only one left on the podcast.
I'm a ghost. Jennifer Labrie Pereira.
Yeah, Jen.
Ooh, that was fancy, Michael. Thanks, Jen.
I'm trying to do it. Seth Fielding. Aw, Seth.
My dog's like it.
Seth, your dog is like...
I think we can all agree with Avon and Kobe.
He's like, they're like, he's got good wizarding robes. Beautiful boy, Michael P. McMahon.
You gotta have that P right in the middle. That's a good, very distinguished.
Equally beautiful.
Attorneys unite?
Equally beautiful boy, Eli Ramsey.
Eli lies like a crazy person during
He and I are polar. He and I are polar opposites in lying. He
gets me every time.
I am as bad, or he is as good as lying as I am bad.
You know, he's never told a lie. Amber Schmidt.
Amber would never.
We've got Jonathan T. Fournuff.
What's
up? Marissa Meadows.
Thanks, I would like to be in a meadow with her. I don't know.
Whoa. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
He's got hit on. Oh, guys, Joe Rundle.
Joe.
Who's that? Oh, I don't know who that is.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, and Charles A. Mostiel.
Wow, that was very authentic.
Charles,
also a distinguished gentleman.
Thanks, Charles.
Chuck.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, is how we should end all of these.
Joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Our editor is Alan Matthews. Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter @PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at That Thing Ninja.
Okay, me, right?
It sure is.
What? Is this first one Lonnie?
Lonnie?
Leonie?
Leonie Duane?
Oh, great. Oh, great.
Oh, wait. It's Michael McMahon that's the attorney. God damn it.
Is he an attorney, too?
Huh?
He's an attorney, too?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
The other McMahon was not.
Okay.
It's Michael McMahon.
You're getting everything wrong, Vijaya.
God damn it.